Hey there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 496. This is the Unhinged edition here at the Caffeination Podcast for a very good reason. I'm going a little bit off my rocker for two important reasons, actually. The first of which being that I am flying solo here today. My Steve, the Wonder co-host, is not here. He is off gallivanting, doing some kind of vacation-y type stuff down in the beach in South Carolina. Nice long drive to get down there from Philadelphia. And I have been fighting with the big iron computer down here in the Caffeination Lair for quite some time. The wonderful video spiffy card, or not video card, but rather the wonderful spiffy sound card, if I could break it down for you ever so slightly, has been more than a little bit problematic, shall we say. So we're trying to do a little bit of a workaround to get this up and running. So hopefully it will actually do it. If you're noticing it, this is not actually being recorded on the 10th of August as it's supposed to be, but it's rather being recorded on the 11th, and it's being released on the 11th. That's because I had to, you know, beat the machine into submission. But you are, of course, listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We are proud to be a member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational stuff. Everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. If you're going to listen to this show, I'm going to guarantee you're going to learn one thing, and that you are going to learn that there's so many ways to complain about things without cursing. Because if you're part of the Tech Podcast Network, you just can't do it. Everything has to be family-friendly. Everything has to be child-safe. So when I go on a rant, my natural and in-person usual way of doing things would probably be slightly more blue, shall we say, to use a comic parlance. But my on-air personality is much, much, much more G-rated. You know, I'll get angry. I just won't get foul, shall we say. There's a lot of stuff to get angry about in today's show. I sense a couple good rants coming up. In fact, the first rant is actually the stupid computer that I'm actually working on. The computer, the big iron machine down here in the Caffeination Lair, has been all sorts of wonderful, everything installed without a hitch, except for the fact that the sound card was not compatible with Windows 7 64-bit, so I am fighting it tooth and nail to actually get anything close to a decent recording. If you heard the last time around, that was through the stock sound card and had all sorts of whistles and pops and clicks in it. And when I recorded the first 38 minutes of this show, had to stop, you know, went back to listen to it. The first 5 minutes were golden. It was beautiful. It was going to be a wonderful show. If you could have listened to that show, your ears would have bled honey. Seriously, that's how wonderful it was. And then when I listened to the last 33 minutes of the show, it sounded like somebody was a robot, and there was this weird echoey effect over the entire thing. I don't know how to express my deep condolences for that other show and for that lost time. So as I was sitting there in my basement, I ended up playing Mass Effect rather than trying to fix the computer, because it was like 3 hours in and I was like, you know what, I can either try and squeeze out a podcast on a portable recording device, or even try the laptop if that'll actually work and see if I can work it that way. Or there's so many other different things. So we're going to, so we have a workaround in place, and hopefully we won't have this issue next week. I am going to do a test recording over the weekend, and if that all works, then we'll be back in business. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to need to buy a new sound card, and that's not going to make me happy at all. So, if you're looking for this podcast and you don't need excuses, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com in case you couldn't figure it out. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail, please fire it off to caffeination@gmail.com. I am flying solo today, so there's nothing to stop me from flying off the handle and going off on a tangent. Usually Steve will give me an eyeball and say, hey, you really want to keep talking about this for another 35 minutes? And I'll be like, oh yeah, we kind of have some more content. But you know what? It's all killer, no filler here, or as Matthew Ebel from Twitter said, from MatthewEbel.com, actually, a wonderful piano player, but what he said recently when he read one of my tweets is, I read it, all coffee, no filter. And you know what? We are rocking a little bit of an unfiltered caffeination here. Maybe I'll actually have a more blue version of the caffeination called Unfiltered. That would be kind of fun, but I digress, and is it possible to digress if you're never really on track in the first place? The Caffeination is sponsored by Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup protects your pictures and your other computer files by automatically backing them up whenever you're online. As somebody who has experienced a multitude of computer disasters in the past couple years, you know, both in work and at home, and I've actually worked with a lot of professors who had wonderful, you know, beautiful data that they had worked tirelessly for years, and then all of it was undone by, you know, a simple short in the power. And it's something that you it's inevitable. It will happen to your files. What you need to do is you need to back up, and there's no simpler way to back up than Carbonite. With Carbonite, you can access your backed up files privately from any computer, your smartphone, or your iPad from a free app. It's unlimited backup of your PC or Mac anytime, anywhere access, and it's only $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month, and if you're really going for peace of mind, you cannot beat that. You start your 15-day free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card is required. Use the code TPN and you'll get 2 free months if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com, and the offer code for 2 free months is TPN. Thank you ever so much to Carbonite for allowing us for sponsoring this show and allowing us to do all sorts of crazy and cool stuff. If you're looking for what I did geeky this week, I had a whole good rant put up of all the fun stuff that I did. You know what? It was all taken apart by the fact that I've actually had to spend doing my day job at night, which means that I'm fixing things that should work. And I dislike that. You know, as a tech, as an IT person, if anybody out there is in this field, you understand, or even if you're just the tech for your family, you'll understand. You'll go over to people's houses, you'll try and sit down for a nice dinner, and somebody will say, "Hey, you know, my computer's not really working the way it should. You know, there's pop-ups, it's slow, it's a piece of junk." And then you go over there, you fix it, you found out somebody installed LimeWire, or there's some other goofy thing going on, you click, 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 and wow, you're magical. When you're a tech and you go home and your own machine breaks, that's when you start pulling your hair out, because you're like, you know, I didn't do anything particularly stupid on this machine because I know not to do those things. I don't click OK. I don't have Outlook installed, so I don't have my email coming in that way. There's so many different things that can possibly mess up your machine, and you're like, OK, so I've reinstalled the whole thing, and then I got down to the sound card, only to find out that they have a new sound card that has the same name as this one. It's the Sound Blaster XFI, and the old version of the Sound Blaster XFI is not entirely compatible with 64-bit Windows. If I want to actually do that, I have to reduce the amount of RAM in my computer. So I have to make my computer suck more if I'm going to have the sound card work. And that's just not a tenable option for me. I'm sorry. I need all the power in the big iron machine. What I do have to... we're going to get into naming schema in a little bit, but what I am getting a little bit irritated about is the fact that Creative releases products with the same name over and over and over again. Literally, I remember back in like 1992 installing a Sound Blaster on my computer. You know what? The sound has already been blasted. And you know what? If you're not going to really improve the product, because it's a sound card, what's really to improve in it? Make it a little bit clearer, put some gold on there, slap, you're done. You know, if you're not going to improve it, at least update the drivers. At least, you know, allow people who have already bought your products and already spent their money to continue to use them. Forced obsolescence is going to drive me through a wall every day of the week. That is my geeky this week. All right, we're starting in on the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have a ton of cool stuff. We're going to be talking about zombies, ninjas, no pirates. This is the Caffeination Classic since I'm flying solo. It's a little bit interesting to kind of do this after having a co-host for so long, and then just going off and on my own little tangents here. It's kind of funny. Hopefully you'll stick with us through this entirety thing. We only got 4 shows left till we start to try and do the live show for the 500th episode, so we're going to announce the date and time for when we're actually going to do that, and I have to get the sound card working for that to work. So, you know, there's so many other hurdles to get up and over before that actually happens. So I hate 3D movies. This has been a long-established thing. I actually wrote a wonderful little article about it back in 2009 over on my personal blog, thetravelersmug.com. That was back when we went to see The Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. Not only was the movie overly dark, but they had what drives me up a wall about 3D movies, which is the pandering to the technology. If you're making a 3D movie and you're going to shoot it, don't have things coming at the screen that wouldn't normally come at the screen. I don't need somebody waving their arms, whoa, you know, they're sitting there and you're looking at it and you're going, why is this here? This has no plot point. This is not driving any of the story. This is only to showcase you the technology and make a kid in the audience duck. It's ridiculous. It's irritating. Please stop doing it. The other thing is, if you're going to have a 3D movie, make it well lit. That movie in particularly drove me up a wall because everything was hazy and everything was dark, and that's how it was supposed to be. It was the ambiance. It was the film noir for the 3D realm, except for the fact that making things hazy and dark makes it harder to focus on them, and people have enough problems focusing on 3D movies to begin with. And I particularly get migraines when I look at bad 3D movies, and it's not just because the actual movie itself gives me a headache, but it's also because my eyes have trouble focusing. Now, I have very good vision, so it's just the stereoscopic part, I guess, isn't the most fantastic thing. And now we're moving on to where 3D is actually entering into the realm of gadgets, and I'm going a little bit nuts. If my phone ever turns 3D, I'm throwing it at somebody. But, they have the Nintendo 3DS, where, you have a tiny little thing, and you have to have it just so far away from your eyes. It's glasses-free 3D viewing. That's great. It's also called eye strain. And you know what? I hate sounding like an old curmudgeon with some of this stuff, but we don't need it. It adds nothing to any of the games. In fact, the 3DS actually allows you to turn it off at random. There's no game that uses it. And now they have a 3D laptop. This laptop, it has a wonderful series of health risks. Here is the disclaimer that actually comes with it. This is an article from over at Mashable, so I'm reading the disclaimer straight from their site. Due to the possible impact on vision development, viewers of 3D video images should be ages 6 or above. Children and teenagers may be more susceptible to health risks associated with viewing in 3D and should be closely supervised to avoid prolonged viewing without rest. Some viewers may experience a seizure or blackout when exposed to certain flashing images or lights contained in certain 3D television pictures or video games. Anyone who has a seizure, loss of awareness, or other symptom like it linked to an epileptic condition or has a family history of epilepsy should contact a healthcare provider before using the 3D function. If you or any viewer experiences the following symptoms or other discomfort in viewing the 3D video images, stop viewing and contact your healthcare provider immediately. Convulsions, eye or muscle twitching, loss of awareness, altered vision, involuntary movements, disorientation, eye strain, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, headaches, and fatigue. That is the entirety of their disclaimer. That reads like medication that's supposed to do something like make you go to sleep at night. Which, by the way, as a small aside, I love the commercials like, here, this will help you sleep when you need to. However, it has like the side effects of black tongue, death, and like loss of fertility. You're like, wait, you know what? I think I'll rather be a little bit tired in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and still be able to have children. Thank you. But we'll be all right. Back to the laptop. Now, when you're looking at these things, this is the Quasimodo, because it's a little bit of a hunchback, kind of like the goofy child in the family, a little redhead stepchild. Sorry to all the gingers in the group. But it's a F755 3D laptop. Now, it's been released from Toshiba this past Tuesday. I wonder exactly what the purpose of 3D viewing on a laptop really is, because there is the only good thing about having 3D viewing would be if there was a 3D input device. Everybody is stuck with a mouse, trackball, keyboard, and iPad/Wacom tablet to do all of your inputting possible. You know, there's no 3D interface like Minority Report. If I was able to open up Rhino, which is a 3D modeling program, or Maya, or any of the other programs that people can do 3D stuff in. Blender is actually a really good free one if you ever want to try it. Small aside there. If you open up one of these things, there's no way you can interact with any of those objects in a 3D space, so there's no reason to view them in a 3D space. So you're still using the same weird conventions to actually manipulate the object, so all it does is produce eye strain. I don't understand it. And you know what? Another thing, the laptop is priced at $1,700. Unless I can sit in front of it for 6 hours before I plunk down almost $2,000, I'm not going to buy something that could possibly make me faint. I don't understand the idea behind some of these technology, inventions. I love technology. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's helped much more than it's hurt. In fact, there's a great book that's called, What Does Technology Want? And it actually treats technology as a living entity to a certain extent that I'm going to go into more in depth in another podcast because I really love the idea. But the pushing of a gimmicky solution to something, this isn't even a solution, a gimmicky sell. Because it doesn't answer a need. It's kind of like a camera on your cell phone. It answered the need because people wanted to take pictures and they had their cell phone with them. There's never a point where you say, you know what? I wish the images flew at my face. I wish that I was able to see things in 3D just a little bit hazy and it's eventually going to make my eyes go crossed. There's nobody who's saying that. And if somebody can come out of the woodwork and say, hey, you know what? I have a perfect reason why we need 3D viewing on a laptop. Please fire it off to caffeination@gmail.com. Because I'm hot and bothered about this, and I think it's pretty ridiculous. Moving on to the next possible short-sighted rant on the podcast, there is a great man in the world, and his name is Ernie Fessenden. Ernie saw his brother Chris, who is a soldier stationed over in Iraq, and he said, do you have all the gear that you need? He says, yes, but you know what? I'm tasked with finding IEDs, which are improvised explosive devices. And there is nothing that we actually have that goes ahead of the patrol. So what we have to do is, you know, we just have to be basically vigilant. We have to look for signs of these things. And, you know, we're using scanners and all the other technology that's available, but there's nothing physically to drive in front of us. So Ernie went to a local hobby shop and put together a Traxxas Stampede, which is an off-road RC car, attached a remote camera to it, and then put a wireless LCD screen that he gave to his brother with a gun-mountable attachment to it so that he could put it on his rifle. So the people were able to actually drive this vehicle fast enough so that it goes in front of the patrol, and it's able to go ahead of them and can go into places that they can't and can see ahead of them, because if something happens to this thing, it doesn't matter. If something happens to the Humvee that the soldiers are carried in, that's a little bit more serious and a lot more dire. So this thing has been in operation since 2007. It was put together for just over $500. So Ernie gave his brother a gift that could hopefully help him in the field. This is sad that the U.S. Army hasn't actually thought of something like this. You know, this is a very simple little remote wireless drone. I guess if you don't spend $16,000 on a hammer, this is the kind of thing that you wouldn't really think up. So this has been in operation. It's already found 4 IEDs so far in the field. So this thing has already saved the lives of countless people. Now, enter into a very recent thing. Ernie was actually trying to get money up, and he had only raised like $6 or $7 to actually build a new one because the other one was wearing out. It just so happens that the little guy actually found its last IED. It was driving ahead of the patrol and tripped a tripwire, which set off 500 pounds of explosives in a roadside IED. All six soldiers who were in the Humvee driving behind it were perfectly safe. There was no damage to the vehicle. There was no damage to anything else other than this little remote vehicle. It blew up. Oh, well. That is six families that have somebody to come home to. You know, there's six families that have somebody who's coming home for them now. That is an unbelievable gift from one brother to another. It's an unbelievable situation to actually find yourself in, because now these are six families that the Army doesn't have to send a representative to their house and apologize for not being able to protect them more. And it was all for $500, and it's been in operation since 2007. This is the kind of thing that the Army really needs to look at. These are battlefield hacks that actually make sense. And you know what? If you need to get somebody in there to make sure that it can't get, you know, I guess that the signal can't get taken over, or you know, somebody can't strap a bomb to the thing, whatever, and it costs a little bit more because you want to make it military grade, okay, fine, but why not just have these things available? Hire Ernie, hire the people that he worked with to build a fleet of these things to give them to the soldiers, because if they're supposed to be doing the job, why don't you give them the tools that allow them to do the job safely? That's just something that I found out there, and it really kind of hit home with me, because I know a lot of people who are in the military. Some of my very best friends in the world have been over in that part of the world and have been doing very dangerous work. And if there was anything I could do at home to make their job safer, I would love to have that ability. And Ernie saw the ability, saw a way to around it, and actually made it happen. And for all intents and purposes, he saved his brother's life along with five other men. That is unbelievable to me. All right, next little thing that I am going to rant about, and then we're going to move on to the other fun stuff that we have for you here. I told you, this is a stacked show. I'm unhinged, a little bit twitchy. I don't even know. Perhaps it's the pot of coffee I had. Perhaps it's stacking on top the Tassimo that I've been abusing. There's so many other things that I've been playing around with lately. But, you know, it's just kind of interesting to see all these different things stack up, and I know Steve would be giving me the eye at this point. But all right. Apple and publishers have possibly conspired against Amazon and their ebook pricing of $9.99. Here's what it was a couple years ago. Basically, before the iPad iPad debuted, Amazon would buy digital books, ebooks, the same way that it buys regular books. It would go over to the publishing house and say, okay, what are you selling these for? All right, I will buy, 5,000 books at $13.99. I can then sell those books at whatever it is that I want. So they would buy electronic books at whatever the vendors were pricing them at, and then they would sell them for $9.99 because they thought that was a much more swallowable price point. They say, you know what, this is a great idea, and this is fantastic. Enter into Apple iPad land, where, you know, when it came out, Steve Jobs announced it, and he had up on the screen that a book by Edward Kennedy was going to be $13.99 or $14.99. So Walter Mossberg actually comes up and says, hey, why would I buy it on the iPad for $13.99 when I can get it on Amazon for $9.99? And he said, well, that's not going to be the case. Steve Jobs said to a member of the press that that's not going to be the case. They're going to be priced the same. what this lawsuit that's recently come out has said is that, you know, basically there was collusion between five of the top six publishing houses. That is HarperCollins, Hachette Book Group, Macmillan, Penguin Group, and Simon & Schuster. And they all colluded with Apple to enter into a price war, basically. You know, they gave them most favored nation status to Apple, said, you know what, we will sell all of your books and we will do it as an agent. Rather than buying the books from you and then selling them at whatever we want, we will sell them for whatever you want to price them at, and we will only take a 30% cut. So, all right, Apple's taking a little bit less money, but they're guaranteed to make money. Apparently, Amazon had been losing money on ebooks to try and gain traction. And so they said, okay, fine. The only thing is, you guarantee not to sell them, not to allow anybody else to sell your books for less. If they start selling them for less, you have to pull the book from their service, which is illegal. And then they also colluded on the price points. They colluded on everything else alleged by this lawsuit, and kind of indicated by the fact that Steve Jobs was so certain about the future pricing of ebooks that he was able to kind of, you know, boast to members of the press about it. And now it seems that, you know, Amazon is basically trying to build this case against them. And you know what? I really kind of hope Apple gets slapped for this. And I want to kind of preface this entire argument with this. Everybody who's an Apple fanboy, whenever I start talking about this stuff, likes to say, you hate Apple. I do not hate Apple. I like their products. I think they produce a wonderful operating system. I however, dislike the way that the company operates, and I dislike the fact that the people who are fans of the company are willing to overlook obvious business malfeasance and you know, wrongdoing on the part of the company just because they're Apple. If anybody else did this, if Microsoft did this, people would be up in arms. People would be burning, you know, Zunes. You know, even if they already aren't, they would be burning Zunes. They'd be throwing Xboxes out the window. They would be up in arms saying, "This is ridiculous. How could you possibly do this?" You know, that's anti-competitive. It's everything that you know. It's anti-creative. It's everything that Apple is supposed to be for. But they're kind of two-faced because they do things behind the back because they think that they have the best technology, and they ensure a positive marketplace by basically bullying everybody who wants to deal with them. I dislike that, and I hate the fact that they go through, you know, life, I guess you could say, with this superior attitude because they get away with all this. Basically, Steve Jobs comes out there and says, I could do whatever I want. I could go up there and take a dump on the U.S. Department of Justice's lawn, and people would probably buy it. And I dislike that, and it really rubs me the wrong way. If their products match their message and their business, if everything in their business kind of match the message, you know, okay, a deviation here and there because you're a business and trying to make a profit, that's fine. But it seems to be the exception that they actually do the right thing and do a nice and noble thing rather than the rule. And that irritates me that people still show the blind loyalty, and I cannot get over that. There's a wonderful article that details this. You know, it goes down and drills down all through the different claims and everything. I really think you should read it. It's over at Wired.com. It was originally posted at Ars Technica, I believe. But it really goes through, and it says that it's incredibly anti-competitive, and the publishing houses basically won a major battle by going with this. So it's pretty rough and pretty raw, so I don't know what we can actually do about this. So enough with the rants. You've heard enough about them. People seem to like these things. I don't even know why. I get more positive press about the rants because they like it when I fly off the handle more than anything else. In fact, some of my friends actually just kind of sit back and say, oh, okay, he's going on another rant. And other ones actually get irritated. But hey, you know what? It's my show. We're going this way. My way or the highway, all right? All right. The next little thing we got for you here is pretty cool. It's called, I'm saying, Heads Will Roll. I'm stealing the tag. Tagline from Technobob, but this is a fantastic viral marketing stunt done by the ad agency of Jung von Matelb, and it's promoting 13th Street, which is a German horror film channel. What they did was they created disembodied zombie head bowling balls. Stay with me here. They painted a bowling ball to look like a disembodied head or a severed head. Then they made it all kinds of gooey and gory with, you know, the holes. My favorite about these things is that the hole placement on some of them is perfect. It's like somebody actually has, so you're sticking your fingers into the nostril and the mouth and then into the ear hole. Somebody else actually has it that you're actually sticking your hand into the mouth. I mean, these are really well done. Some of them are a little bit more well done than others. But it's kind of cool. And what they did was, rather than entering into a partnership with all the different bowling alleys in Germany to kind of promote this 13th Street film channel, what they did was they actually went out surreptitiously to bowling alleys and replaced the stock bowling balls with these gratis. So they didn't, you know, they didn't spend anything, they didn't play anything, they just threw them out there. I would love to go to a bowling hall and actually see a disembodied screaming zombie head. That would be fantastic. And you know what? It would make getting a strike that much better. I think these are really cool. If they're smart, even to the people outside the country who are never going to watch that channel, they would sell these things, because these things would sell. People would buy these things. This is awesome. I love really kind of cool and crazy advertising like this, and I just think it didn't hurt anybody. It's fantastic. And you're sticking your hand in a zombie's mouth. Well, the zombie might technically be dead. So if the zombie's already dead and it's post-mortem, what happens when the zombie itself has actually been killed or decapitated? Is it post-post-mortem or post-mortem-mortem? And I'm not entirely sure on that, so if you have anything, please send it. Now, the next thing I actually listed is Scrape Your Toes Across the Floor, which is a Blind Melon song. It's kind of a weird song, but this is a weird thing. It's zombie toe sandals. So if you're putting together a wonderful little zombie costume for Halloween, you might want to look at these weird little tootsies. These are, you know, all kinds of cracked and broken and twisted around. They kind of look like Crocs or slippers, because you actually slip your foot into them. They look like a zombie wearing thong sandals. But these are really kind of freaky. They're available Random Good Stuff has the link, and they're available over at the Neato Shop. And they're only $14.95. So I think, you know, if you have a nice warm Halloween where you are, hey, you know what? It might not be a bad choice. Then up next, we have the Coffee Zombie, which is a doodle I did this past week because we had so many different zombie things. It's coffee. To heck with brains. My zombie wants coffee. Get this zombie a latte. I just threw it out there. The zombie itself actually is a little bit weird. The nose was a lot better before I accidentally sneezed and drew a line across his face, so I had to kind of make it work. But as my father says about artwork, you know, it's like you never make a mistake. You can always fix it. So I don't know about how well that one came out. And then we have a wonderful little article sent in by one of our listeners, Dan. Thank you ever so much. The top 10 zombie survival tips. Now, we know something about the Magnus Mortis Opus. That's what we put together, which is the Caffeination fairly official and rather incomplete zombie plan. So you can find that one over at the podcast. But these are 10 new ones, and I actually think some of them are kind of cool. No, you're not. How to keep yourself from drowning. Turn a hybrid car into a generator. Find your way without a compass. These are all really good things. Stick to rooftops? All right, maybe not so much. Keep in touch with others in an emergency. They tell you about how to use your cell phone. I'm sorry, in the event of a zombie apocalypse, the infrastructure is going to be the first thing to go. Don't depend on that. What you need to do is learn about semaphore and smoke signals, because really that's all you're going to have. Maybe a ham radio here and there. The other ones, know your emergency first aid. Very good. Start a fire with anything. Very good. I mean, these are all, and forage for food and water. Not really sure about that. They try and tell you what the edible and non-edible mushrooms are. The rule of the jungle, even for the people that I know that are unbelievable survivalists, is to leave mushrooms alone. Just plain and simple. The other ones put together a survival kit. But back to the edible food. I know a guy when I was in archaeology, and we were on a field school. This guy literally was the best survivalist I've ever seen. He found out that, you know, he could live on almost nothing. If he had his knife with him, he was pretty much good. He actually, one of his things for his doctoral thesis was that he lived as a Native American did roughly 5,000 years ago. He created the same stone tools. Yes, this guy didn't really need a knife, even though it just helped him to have one. He actually, you could put him in the woods, he would find a good flint napping stone, a good source stone, and a good hammer stone. He could make his own knife, he could kill animals with bows that he made. Like, his entire thing was about primitive technologies, and it was unbelievable. Literally, well, we were standing there, and we were standing next to one of those, it was a giant old, like, sycamore tree, and it had vines hanging down. It had, like, this really woody bark on it. So he pulled the bark off of it, and we're sitting there, we're all during lunch, everybody's eating and talking, and he just keeps rubbing the bark, and he's twisting it around, nobody really pays any attention. Then after about, like, a half hour, 45 minutes, everybody's getting ready and done, we look down at his hands, and he actually has a rope from the fibrous tissue in the vine's bark. He had actually rolled it back and forth until he created strands, twisted the strands up, and then wove a small bit of rope, and he used it to hold his keys on his belt. that this guy walked through the woods. He would pick things up and hand them to other people and say, here, try this, and we would eat them. Now, we had another gentleman who was there who was trying to impress some of the lady friends, and he picked up some things and said, here, try these. These are strawberries. And before he could do anything, Bill came out of nowhere and said, I probably wouldn't eat them. They're not really edible. He says, well, I've been eating them for years, and they're fine. He says, yeah, see, there's a difference between edible and eatable. You have something that's eatable. Your body has nothing that it's going to get out of that. In fact, if you eat enough of them, you're going to get sick. He says, what you have is not little wild strawberries. That's called strawberry blithe. So he ended up looking like a little bit of a tool in front of the lady friends, and Bill ended up looking unbelievable. And so it's like, after seeing people like that, and he stayed away from mushrooms, this man could kill a deer with a bow that he made by himself. And he has done it. So, like, if he stays away from mushrooms, I'm perfectly fine staying away from mushrooms. He would eat lichen that was growing on a rock moss. And, you know, he had recipes for rock moss. So this dude knew what he was talking about, and he stayed away from mushrooms. Trust me, zombie people, stay away from mushrooms. All right, we also have the link to the Magnus Mortis Opus, so that's a little fun for you there. So you want to be a ninja. Everybody wants to be a ninja, except pirates, and even they probably secretly want to be a ninja, even though the ninjas probably secretly want to be pirates. But pirates don't really have cool stuff. Ninjas have cool stuff like smoke bombs. And the wonderful Kip Kardashian, who's over at YouTube, who has an unbelievable knack for explaining really complex and funny things. I mean, and he does it with a really easygoing delivery. And he actually tells you how you, too, can make your own slamming ninja smoke bombs. So I passed that along to the group because I thought that was awesome. You really need to go over there and actually click his pranks and jokes, because he has some of the best pranks that I've ever seen, and they're simple to put together relatively. So head on over there and check that out. Next little thing we got for you, Mattel has a Ghostbuster trap that they're actually going to be doing, which is $135. It's a movie-quality replica prop. Now, it has two modes, and the fine folks over at Ghostbusters fans, a Ghostbusters fan site actually went around and did a 7.5-minute interview at Comic-Con. So if you really want to get in detail on everything that it can do, I would head over there and eyeball it, because it's a great interview, and you can actually see and hear all the different sounds. But it has prop mode and movie mode. Movie mode, it actually acts like it does in the movies, has a light show and sound effects and everything go off. Prop mode, you can actually use it to create your own, I guess, fan fiction version of it. It's unbelievable. It even has like battle damage. It comes with everything but the containment unit, and that's probably good considering the fact that the EPA might come down on yourself. So Walter Peck might come down and stick his nose in your business. Nobody really needs that. Next thing we got for you here is best Wi-Fi names ever. This is a list from over at Mashable. Some of my favorites are 404 Network Unavailable, Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wi-Fi, Router I Hardly Know Her, and my absolute favorite, the Skynet Global Defense Network. There's other ones like Police Surveillance VAM, Abraham Linksys. There's a whole bunch of really cool ones over there. And this kind of brought up, well, what do you call your Wi-Fi names? I'd like to find out what everybody else has. I personally have Mead Hall, and there's a little bit of a story behind it. The first Wi-Fi that I set up was over at my parents' network, and it was called Valhalla. And it was called Valhalla because all of the machines in my network, my personal network, are named after Norse gods and things in Norse mythology. So since I already had one Valhalla, I couldn't have another one. So I thought, oh, you know what? Where did people go to tell the stories? They went to tell the stories at the mead halls that were in the Viking villages. So it was kind of like the village center. So that's what I named it. So I already have the big iron machine that we're recording on is Odin. The laptop is Loki. The media server is Balder. The web server is Heimdall. And it even goes down into the sub gadgets. So, Odin, which is the big machine and my primary workstation, there's two things that plug into it. One is my phone, and the other one is my my old iPod. And I actually have an iPod. It's the really like thin 2 gig one. I forget what it's actually called. I haven't used it in a little while, but those are Hunir and Munir, and basically that those are the two ravens that actually follow Odin around. So it's thought and memory. Thought is my phone, and memory is the iPod, because I also used to store files that I needed to have on there. So, and it's funny because it even goes into things like portable drives. Like one of the portable drives is Futhark, which is the Nordic alphabet, the runic alphabet. So it goes pretty deep. I've seen things like in architecture, we have everything named after old architects. So there's Vitruvius, there's Ramses II. People ask me, why not Ramses I? Well, Ramses II was a little bit more of a prolific builder. And it goes down into other things, and it's kind of funny. So I'm really curious about what your network's name. Do you have any kind of naming schema for all the machines that are in your network? We actually had the Xbox named Loki for a while, but when the first Xbox died, I've had bad luck with machines named Loki, and since Loki's the trickster god, I usually just name like something that I don't mind losing as Loki. So, since I didn't pay for it, the laptop that I use for work is named Loki, because if it goes bad, then it's not my money that I'm having to replace it with. The Xbox was a little bit more dire, and I'm trying to find a good name for that one right now. I might name it Freya or something like that. We'll see. But just curious what anybody else has. Shoot your suggestions and things in there. All right, now this is the second to last little story, a little bit of a half story after this. As long as you tweet, we can't fail. These are a list of unbelievable social media posters that are listed over at Lost Eat Miner. Or Lost State, Low State Miner. I'm not even sure how it's all broken down, but it's Lost at E Miner. There it is. Sometimes when your URLs are all crunched in together, it's hard to actually figure them out. But they have a series of unbelievable and timeless designs that are based on propaganda images from World War II, and they're actually aged to look like it. It says, victory, like it on Facebook. Victory is tweet. Raise the banner, share the victory, Google+. And they have a whole bunch of other things, and my absolute favorite one is Facebook, join the cause, your friend's farms needs you. I myself am no stranger to social propaganda, except I don't think mine are as good as those. I have Podcast Air Supremacy, we have Visual Impact, and a couple other ones, and I'm really kind of working on some fun propaganda stuff coming up. But if you head on over to store.caffeination.com, you see a list of all the different propaganda images that we actually do, and some of the other stuff as well. A couple of my paintings, the Ethiopian coffee diaspora, which is one of my favorite pieces that I did, and of course the Magnus Mortis Opus. You too can get your very own printed out version of the zombie plan, and anything that you actually do, you can buy it at 18x24 or 9x12 if you really want to do it. And it's printed in full color. It's wonderful, but anything that you spend over there actually helps support the caffeine. So that really kind of helps us. Every little bit helps here, you know. All right, you could also click on some of the ads on the side, just letting you know if you see on any of them. But the other thing that we have for you here is food and caffeinated bits. We're diving in now since we're done, and we're gonna head a little bit longer. You know what? With all those rants at the beginning, I'm surprised that I'm making as good of a time as I am. Beware the pudding face, though. However, if you head on over to jellopuddingfacebot.com or the jellomoodmeter.com, then you can actually see the overall mood on Twitter. Anybody who follows the pudding face, or even in general, it has two columns. One is smiley tweets and one is frowny tweets. Every time it's frowny tweets that pop up, the pudding face gives out free pudding, which is good, except for the fact that it's a giant disembodied head that has one of two things happening to it. It's either smiling this really creepy grin like it's doing right now, or it has a very sad look on its face. The sad one looks a little bit more natural. The smile is really, really creepy, especially when it actually winks at you when it's smiling. It just looks a little bit like it needs to be driving a white van, if you know what I'm saying. So that freaks you out, but if you like free pudding, follow the Jell-O pudding face or head on over there and eyeball it. And if it's sad, you know what? If you put a little frowny face out there, it might try and cheer you up with some free pudding, and everybody loves free pudding. All right, now the next little thing we got for you here, the Vesk Starbucks conspiracy. Jonathan Stark posted his Starbucks card online earlier this week and said it's kind of like give a penny, take a penny. You can either head on over to Starbucks and use his card to buy yourself a coffee, or you could recharge the card, or you could do both. And it's kind of like a little bit of share the love, whisper down the lane kind of thing. Well, some recalcitrant coffee blogger somewhere said, hey, you know what? Jonathan Stark, rather, works for Mobiquity, and one of Mobiquity's former clients on their list was actually Starbucks. So we think that this is a secret viral marketing stunt. If it had been, it would have been wonderful, except all sources are saying no. And even as a cynic, I would have had a hard time saying, you know what, that just didn't seem right, because there seems to be a little bit of something missing for it to actually be a true for it to actually be a true viral marketing thing. I could be completely wrong here, but it's just kind of interesting because and then he said, well, you know what, as soon as he listed that out, Mobiquity actually took down their former client's page. Their response was that they took it down because of a site redesign and the fact that it didn't accurately represent the people that the company had worked for, but rather people who were in the company have worked on campaigns for these major companies. So that makes a little bit more sense because, you know, if you're a young design firm or young ad agency or whatever you are, you're going to try and find some way to increase your overall profile and increase how people think of you. And so as they redesigned it, they said, you know what, nobody has ever had a direct working relationship. Stark has never had one, and Mobiquity itself has never actually been contracted by Starbucks to do anything. Starbucks itself said while they were honored, they were not actually involved. And you know what, they would kind of fess up if they were, because that would be... That would be pretty stupid to not do it, because then they would be in violation of the FTC, and nobody likes that. All right, next little thing was sent in by one of our listeners. This is actually You Go Boy, and no, You Go Boy. All right, this is the real Keurig complaint, or is this just plain silly from over at complaints.com? This gentleman's trying to use a Keurig for apparently the first time and ends up opening the packet and says that there's no pull tab. Yeah, well, you're not supposed to open the K-cups. We all understand that, but I'm going to leave this out to the group. Do you really think that this is actually a complaint, or is this somebody trying to be a little bit funny? So I would kind of err on the side of saying that this looks like somebody being a little bit funny, because he's actually using a French press, and he just I don't think anybody could actually make that mistake at this point in time. And then the last thing that we actually have for you here is from over at DailyShotOfCoffee.com. Mike has a wonderful review of coffee marshmallows. I am not a fan of marshmallows, but I would actually give these a shot. These look pretty cool. Apparently, each one of these is actually made with real coffee of some sort. So there's double espresso, cocoa espresso, and double coffee. And he's describing them, and it's actually making my mouth water for marshmallows, which is pretty rare to do. I'm looking at them, I'm going, you know what, that seems really cool. They seem to be, it's an interesting idea, because I've seen a lot of snacks that include caffeine, and they include coffee in the ingredients, like Buzz cookies. Buzz Strong cookies were unbelievably good. They tasted like coffee. They had a nice sweet aroma to them. Everything was fantastic. These look like they'd be more that and less penguin mints, which are just bitter mints. So I my hat's off to the people over at CafeX who did the Cafe Mellows, because they look really cool. And Mike, it's a really, really good article. So you head on over to Daily Shot of Coffee and you can actually check out his take on them. And you know what? I might be forced to go over there and see if I can pick up a pack. They are $5.99 for a 3-pack. However, when you read the caffeine the caffeine included in each marshmallow, it's somewhere around 220 milligrams of caffeine. So that's pretty high up there. I mean, a cup of coffee is around 120 to 150. You know, for a good strong cup of coffee, you know, a espresso itself can be anywhere from, you know, 95 to 180 milligrams or something like that, depending on your strength and the size of it. So, I mean, that's a decent amount of caffeine and buzz. So I'm just curious to see what anybody else thinks. All right, I've used enough of your time up. Thank you ever so much for listening here to the Caffeination. This has been the slightly delayed, more than a little rant-filled episode of the Caffeination. That's why it's the Unhinged, the Caffeination Classic. Hopefully you enjoyed our fun little romp through the internet this week. Thank you ever so much, and make sure you step back here next week when I'll have the stabilizing influence back here. Hopefully Steve will be able to be with us. This has been Caffeination 496 Unhinged, lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure it out. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion to any of the stories that we talked about, and you'd like to throw down with your own little rant, please feel free to dial into the listener line. It's direct to voicemail. You can record the most loud, crazy rant you want. I will beep it out if you need to. Try and keep it clean so it saves me some time. But hey, if you don't want to, go for it. 215-240-1319. Twitter.com/caffeination. If you're looking to get a hold of Steve, that's Steve Lost Fears over at Twitter. I'm Paul at caffeination.com. He's Steve at caffeination.com. And this has been a wonderful episode. Thank you ever so much for listening to it. And stay caffeinated, people.